Good morning and welcome to Bethany's Drive-In Worship Service on this beautiful and, I would say, crisp Sunday morning. It's great to see all of you out this morning. Isn't it just beautiful out here? We see the beautiful leaves changing during this time of the year, the changing of the season. It is just awesome to live in the Shenandoah Valley, and we are so fortunate. And I think we're very fortunate to be up and around this morning and to be able to come out and attend our drive-in worship service. And also for those of you at home who can watch online and participate in our service as well, you are welcome. And we are glad to have you worship with us. You know, months ago when all this wildness with COVID-19 began, we were using language like survive and get by. We felt like we simply wanted to hold on. And then you stop to think, is that the best I can do, is just survive? Is that all that God wants for us? I think not. We need to think, how do I thrive during this pandemic? Not how do I survive? Scripture tells us that our God is bigger than our present circumstances. It tells us that He desires thriving over surviving, and that He is able to meet our needs and see us through any difficulty in life. Our first song speaks to these times that we are experiencing and reminds us we were made to thrive.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Shine like the sun.
time.
Awesome. Let's hear it for our band, Dale Roller. Yes. Dale Roller and Taylor Rhodes. Dale's on banjo, Taylor's on guitar. We really appreciate it, fellas. It sounds great this morning. Just a reminder that if you have a prayer request or a praise, we ask that you text 540-495-0501, and Pastor Susan will include your request in her morning prayer. That's 540-495-0501. Let's welcome our Heavenly Father to our service this morning. Lord God, as we join together in worship, we come to praise you as the God of all creation. What a beautiful job you did in this Valley of Virginia. As the seasons change, we stand in all of the amazing colors the characters of nature display. May these be the signs that show us we worship a caring and loving God who, in spite of our daily challenges, seeks to support us and undergird us with his love. Be with us this morning as we express our gratitude and praise in word and song. May all that we do, all that we say, and every note we sing be an acceptable offering to you. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, our next song is a little more updated version of an old familiar hymn called Take My Life. Thank you. Pastor Susan will now have our children's moments.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you today. So this morning I I brought some flowers with me, and I particularly wanted to bring sunflowers. And one of the reasons for that is, you know, we have a bird feeder, and sometimes the birds will, like, drop a sunflower seed into the ground underneath the bird feeder. And we've had sunflowers grow up from that. And our scripture this morning talks about the... You can't hear me?
At all.
Okay. All right. We will try to see if they can fix that, because I know it's coming out of the monitor. So, okay. So we got some people who can and some who cannot. Okay. All right. Well, I'm gonna keep going, and we'll see if we can figure it out. So sometimes the birds will drop a sunflower seed, and it'll grow into a sunflower. Our scripture today says that the one who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Or another way to say that is, you know, if you put a lot of seed in the ground, you're going to get a lot of stuff coming up. If you only put a few seeds in the ground, you might just get a couple things, you know, a couple sunflower seeds. But you all have probably been by that, you know, there's at least one field I know of that has a whole field of sunflowers. You know, somebody went out there and planted a lot of sunflower seeds. And when I look at that field, I don't know why, but it makes me happy. You know, I just love seeing all those sunflowers. But in our scripture this morning, you know, God is telling us, go out and plant a lot of seeds. And really, those seeds are love. You know, if you plant a few seeds, well, a few things will come up. But God says, plant as many seeds of love as you can and see all the good things that come up. So think about that. Next time you see a sunflower, let it remind you that we need to plant those seeds and see what amazing things come up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we are so thankful that you have loved us so much. Lord, help us to put forth those seeds of love and plant them in the ground where they will grow and grow and grow. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 12. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, excuse me, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we are here in the midst of your abundance, of the beauty of your creation. And Lord, as we consider how it is we might share your love abroad, gracious God, show us how we can go where you lead, how we can do what you would have us do. All this I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this is a beautiful day to be outside in worship. I'm not entirely surprised that no one wanted to sit out in chairs this morning. It's a little brisk, but it is a beautiful morning. Just as we heard Randy say, you know, we are in the midst of God's beautiful creation. And as I was thinking about that, thinking about sowing seeds this week, it reminded me of when I arrived at the parsonage we were living in King George, Virginia. When we got there, the flower beds were a little bit of a mess. There were a lot of weeds growing, and where there weren't weeds, there was something that is called creeping lily turf or monkey grass. It's a kind of like liriope, except it's an invasive form of it. So that was everywhere. And in places where there wasn't this monkey grass, there was chicken wire underneath the mulch. So it needed some help, and I like to pull weeds, so I got in there, and on my days off I was pulling up chicken wire and pulling weeds and seeing what all was under there. And I had been given a rose bush as a gift, so I planted the rose bush, and members of my husband's church, which was right across the street, they saw me working there, and so some volunteers came from the church, and they were helping me with the flower beds. And the men's group really got into it. They came one day, and they chopped down all the boxwoods. There were these really tall, 5-foot boxwoods, and they came home one day, and they were gone. But they came back, and they thank you. They came back and planted some shrubs, and I planted some daffodils and some other flowers, echinacea, another rose bush, some rosemary, lavender, and I loved planting all that stuff. It was a great I don't know, project, seeing these weeds turn into, you might let them know that his guitar is plugged in. I asked him to play like that behind me. It became this sort of, to me, kind of an oasis, these gardens. They were buzzing with life. There were bumblebees and birds and butterflies and skinks and a toad and praying mantises. Also Japanese beetles and June bugs and bagworms. But it was life. It was thriving life. And we got to the parsonage in New Hope here, and I was slightly disappointed that it was in beautiful shape. It didn't really need anything from me, but I started a compost bin, and thinking that I would have a vegetable garden. Didn't have it in 2019 because we just moved. Thought I would do it this spring, and then COVID happened and upped my workload. But I'm still hopeful. I filled the composter with leaves and kitchen scraps, and I'm hopeful that next spring the garden will happen, that I'll have a chance to put some seeds in the ground, because planting seeds to me is, well, it's just something that I love, putting the seeds in and watching the green leaves come up, those first leaves, and then, you know, seeing them grow and having them sprout into produce or flowers. And to me, planting seeds is a biblical experience, you know, because it comes up a lot in the Bible. Jesus tells the parable of the sower about what happens when the sower spreads the seeds around, and about the kind of ground that these seeds fall into. And then Paul continues that when in his second letter to the Corinthians. Now, he's talking about asking the Corinthians to bring some, well, to give some cash for the saints in Jerusalem. They are struggling, and so he reminds them that those who put down a lot of seed will get a lot back, that those who put down a few seeds are not going to get much of a harvest. And so those who are listening to Paul's letter being read were probably very familiar with this process of growing. He reminds them, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. And they understood that he who supplies the seed, that was God. You know, that the bread that they got came from the seed, and God made the seed. You know, they understood that the process of bread began with the seed, the harvest of the wheat, the grinding of the flour, and eventually the making of the bread. They understood that God sustained them. And so they knew that the more seed you plant, the more you can harvest. And I think it also works that same way when we are sowing love into the world. And sometimes it comes back in surprising ways. I met a woman named Sinai. Now, Sinai was not a member of my church. She was a member of the Presbyterian Church. But we had a group of churches that put together lunches one day a week, Wednesday every week during Lent. And the idea was that there's a half-hour service and then a half-hour for lunch, with the hope that the people from the naval base would come and share worship and the meal with us. And so Sinai, I met her because she was one of those people who came and brought food a lot of the time. And also, she considered one of my church members to be her spiritual mother. Later, I would learn why that was so important to her. But for the moment, I just got to know Sinai through the Lenten lunches. And then later, I learned that she was from Cambodia. Now, we had invited a speaker, Nancy Yarborough, to come and speak about her mission trips to Cambodia to support a growing network of Methodist churches. And Nancy explained that between 1975 and 1979, nearly a quarter of Cambodia's population was exterminated by the Khmer Rouge. Now, if you've seen the movie The Killing Fields, then you know a little bit about what happened there. When the Khmer Rouge government took over, they abolished money, they abolished private property, they abolished religion, and in the place of those things, they set up these collective farms. So anyone who was thought to be an intellectual or a member of the upper class, or even who wore glasses or knew a foreign language, they were considered an enemy of the people, and they were often imprisoned or executed. So close to 2 million people died in Cambodia during those years. And it's sort of hard to understand, to take in, but a whole generation was lost in that country. And there were few people to pass on the traditions to the younger generation. Now, Sinai had come to hear Nancy speak. You know, it wasn't her church. This was a United Methodist thing, but being a Cambodian, she wanted to hear what Nancy had to say. And after Nancy was finished, Sinai stood up and thanked her for coming and talking about Cambodia, thanked her for the work that she was doing and that she had been part of to build churches in her home country. And she shared a little bit about herself, something I'd never heard before. She said that she had come to the United States out of this devastating tragedy. With tears in her eyes, she explained that she and a sibling had fled the country and gone to a refugee camp during those years. And from there, they were able to come to the United States. But the rest of her family, mother, father, brothers, grandparents were not able to escape, and they all perished. It's sort of mind-boggling, but it brought home what Nancy was saying, that there was a need for hope in this country that had been so devastated by this 4 years of terror. And so you may wonder, well, you know, why are you telling us about this? Well, we're part of that because we're a United Methodist Church, because we are part of the Virginia Annual Conference. We have supported missionaries going into Cambodia and building these churches. Right now, they have 140 congregations, 11 districts, 132 Cambodian clergy people, and an average Sunday worship attendance of 6,828 people. So something is happening there. There's a lot of people who are working to support it. You know, when Nancy came, she brought some items to sell that were made by people in Cambodia. As a matter of fact, this scarf was made in Cambodia, and it, you know, buying it helped support some of the people there who are living fairly impoverished lives. The country hasn't really recovered completely from everything that's happened. And there's another missionary that some of our apportionment supports. Her name is Carol Biswas, and she works with some of the poorest people in Cambodia, in the capital of Phnom Penh. She has a program called Street Children Ministry and Community Outreach, and she mainly helps children who don't have any other resources, who are living on the streets in Phnom Penh, finding places for them. And she follows up with children who miss school to find out if their families need help. She assists women who are caught up in domestic violence and human trafficking. We do that through our connection. We plant those seeds. And that was some barren soil in Cambodia. And by our connection, we make that happen. There's a comic strip I like to read because it has a pug in it, and I have a couple of pugs at home. It's called Sheldon, and it's by a man named Doug Kellett. And just recently, he has the grandfather is tucking Sheldon into bed, and this is what he says to him. He says, "Off go the ripples of another day's work." And Sheldon asks him, "Why do you always say that to me, Grandpa?" And he says, "In this world, we only have a finite time to leave the world better than we found it. So in the rare few days that we're given, our purpose is to make the lives and loves of this world better through our actions. The things you do for yourself will by and large end with your death, but the things you do for others, those will continue to ripple out across human history. So off they go, the ripples of another day's work." Those ripples are like the seeds given to us by Almighty God for us to plant and water, and for the most part be harvested by others, but also produce more seeds and other harvests. You are the sowers. Well may you sow. Every act is a seed. When the Naked Creek Methodist Church building was condemned and the decision was made by a certain number of families, five or six, to take out loans to build a new church, they knew that they were sowing seeds for future ministry. They weren't just building a building. They knew they were planting seeds that another generation would harvest. When we support Kingsway Ministries, we're planting seeds for the incarcerated. When we go and collect the cards that we send back to the prisoners, when we do apple tree, we're sowing seeds. When we support Open Doors or First Steps or Valley Missions, we are planting seeds in this community. They are seeds of love. And when we distribute food from the food pantry, we aren't just giving out food. We are planting the seeds of God's love. United Methodists have been planting seeds for a long, long time. And it's a wonderful thing. It's what God calls us to do. And I celebrate Bethany because Bethany has been planting seeds for a long time. I imagine the seeds of God's love are like those fields of sunflowers, bright, beautiful, and the kind of sight that just makes you smile because it is so lovely. Bethany family, you are the sowers. Well may you sow. All that grows from the seeds of love is beautiful in the sight of God. May you go and sow seeds wherever you go. Amen.
Good morning. I have been in church all my life, and whenever stewardship is mentioned, people groan. They say, here we go again, hearing them beg for money. I thought, what can I say that hasn't been said hundreds of times over and over? I asked Jerry, what do you want me to talk about? And he said, why don't you talk about why I do what I do, pertaining to stewardship? That gave me some food for thought, because I had to think how this applies to me personally. I'm studying Genesis in a Bible study, and one of the first things we were told that, as the crown of God's creation, humans receive unique privileges and responsibilities. We were created to steward God's creation. I looked up the word stewardship. It says the job of supervising or taking care of something, such as an organization or property. This puts another perspective on stewardship, because it is not just about money. Since March, we haven't been able to come to worship together in our church building due to the restrictions from the COVID virus. I hope all of you have missed this as much as I have. Because we have this building, there are expenses involved to keep it going. Insurance, maintenance, utility bills, plus the salaries for the people we count on to help us have good worship and study time. This means somebody has to support all these activities with our time, talents, and money. And that somebody is me and you. God just wants us to be obedient and just give him back at least 10%. That's 10 cents out of every dollar, approximately 2.5 hours a day, and I'm not quite sure how to calculate talents. I have to admit the money is the easiest part for me, because anytime I get money, I just take his 10% first. Time I have a struggle with, because I have to concentrate on making that always work out. I'm not sure what my talents are, so I just trust God that he's getting what he wants. When I decided to get serious about my relationship with God, I thought I would try to do what I was supposed to do. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. So I decided to just do that. In the beginning, our budget just met our living expenses, so I didn't think I could give the full 10% of our budget, so I started with a small amount. Over time, we were able to meet all our money obligations, so I kept increasing our giving a little bit at a time until we built up to the 10%. Plus, on certain occasions, now we can give more as a gift. I can't explain how that works, but it really does. You just can't outgive God. Now, with giving of our time, that was a different learning experience. At times, I still struggle with making my 10%. I do know that when I have my devotion time first thing in the morning, my day definitely goes better. Anytime you do something in the Lord's name that is giving back to him, have the attitude of being the hands and feet of Jesus. So for some examples, that might be like making phone calls, giving time to others, a smile, being kind, spending time with people that are hurting, volunteering, prayers, working around the church building, sending cards and letters. These are just a few examples of ways that you can give of your time in God's name. He really wants us to care for each other. Make a difference where you are by looking for ways to add beauty to people's lives and acknowledging their battles. As I said, talents are a different matter. I just pray that God is using me in other ways that benefit those around me. I am a wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, sister, daughter, aunt, and friend. So I just know God is using me somewhere. with saying that, I'm not promising everything will work out for you perfectly like the TV evangelist promise. I'm just saying that God has blessed me beyond my wildest expectations. I have never been hungry, homeless, alone, or abandoned. I try to live what my Bible says, and God has kept his promises to me. I always have more than I need. God loves us so much, and he is so generous and patient with us. He doesn't need anything we have, but as a discipline, we need to give back just a fraction of what he gives us. 10% is a very small amount considering how richly he does bless us. When we all give our little bit together, it turns into a large amount, and God uses that for the good of all. With that, I want to thank everyone that worked so hard to help us have a good worship experience every Sunday. We can't meet inside the church, but we can meet in the building parking lot. And it takes a lot of work to pull this together, and I thank those. As we celebrate this Stewardship Month, I just want to end by saying, read his word, pray, give him first place in your life, and be a good steward of what he has given you. And I know it will be a great blessing for you, and has been for me and our church.
Thank you, Bettina, for that message. Thank you so much. This is a time when I pray for everyone who has given and for our offering. You know, we don't pass the plate around. We've got a couple buckets, but I'm just so thankful for all those who give their time and their talent and their presence. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of those who come together and make us a community of Christ, the body of Christ in the world. Lord, continue to keep us strong, to care for one another, and to care for those in our community, even as we know our community is the world. Amen. Well, I have a few announcements I want to share with you. Our plan is that as the days get cooler, that we will be having indoor worship come November 1st, which also happens to be All Saints Day. So if you have folks you want to include for All Saints, people who have passed away, you want to remember, let Cindy know. And I think she wants in the office, and I think she wants a photo as well. Charge Conference is next Saturday, October 24th at 11:30 a.m. We're doing it by Zoom, and we'll be sending out the Zoom link to everybody along with a few instructions and the things we're going to vote on early this week. So if you want to come and have a look and listen to Charge Conference, I invite you to come and do that. Also, we are collecting items, part of Kingsway Mission. We are collecting for Apple Tree Project. So those, if you want to select the name of a child and purchase a gift for them, have a look at, I believe it's on the website. And also there's a woman's book study that's going to start pretty soon. Cindy Kite's going to lead that along with... Cindy will have more information in the office. There's going to study a book called, I should have written that down. But anyway, there's a book that they're going to study. And also, Food Pantry is in need of diapers. So diapers, all children's diapers, all sizes. So you can drop them off here. Now, let me check. So, I have not felt my phone buzz for prayer requests. We want to be in prayer for Jim Miller and his family, Jim and Barbara. He lost two members of his family this past week. His cousin, Joe Muma, and I think she was a former member here. His aunt, Peggy Miller, also passed away. So keep them in your prayers. We want to be in prayer for Lloyd Meadows as he's having chemo and radiation right now for cancer. And also been asked to pray for Stephanie Estes' family. Stephanie was the bookkeeper at Westwood Hills Elementary School in Waynesboro, and she passed away suddenly. So keep her family in your prayers as well. And I have a praise. I have a friend, Dave Loudon, and he had surgery for prostate cancer 6 years ago, and he got his 6 years, and he just got his last report was that he is still cancer-free. So that is an amazing, wonderful thing. Dave is kind of the Dale Roller of my previous church. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we lift up our hearts. Our hearts are full because you have blessed us. Lord, help us to count our blessings, to have grateful hearts for all that we have received. Lord, you know that there are times when we aren't entirely grateful. There are times when it just seems like nothing is quite the way it should be. But Lord, forgive us when we only see the faults and the flaws, and open our eyes so that we may see the abundance of grace that you have for us. Lord, I pray for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you give them comfort in the promise of the resurrection, but also, Lord, remind us that resurrection happens here and now. In the midst of brokenness, you bring new life. Lord, we pray for those who are sick and pray that you might heal them. Whether they are sick in body or in spirit, pour out healing upon them. Gracious God, we know that COVID, the pandemic, it has created a lot of chaos in our lives. But Lord, we know that you are greater than all of that. Show us how it is we can continue to sow seeds of love throughout the world. Continue to guide us so that we might share the grace that we have received. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our final song for our service this morning is a great old song. Roy Lee, you're going to like this one. I Saw the Light.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a shelter in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I For straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light.
No more in darkness, no more in night.
Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light.
Just know your toes were tapping in your cars. I must have been hard to stay seated during that one. Well, now as you go forth to plant those seeds of love. I know you're doing it already. Keep up the good work. Amen.